Taste of Country Nights with Evan Paul on demand, and this is a special episode of two. There's going to be the part two is next week. I was flown out to Athens, Georgia to interview Jason Aldean and Luke Bryan ahead of their stadium show in Athens, Georgia. So this episode is going to be the Jason Aldean interview, and then the next episode next week will be Luke Bryan. Thanks for checking out this interview. It's a fun one with Jason Aldean. We're hanging out here with Jason Aldean before the big show, man. You excited?
I am, man. It's always good to be here in Athens, Georgia, and especially when you get to play a show at Sanford Stadium. So, yeah, we're excited.
That's huge. All right, I'm going to ask you some questions about the album. But okay. First, I want to talk about you and Luke Bryan's relationship over the years. Got we're going to put together like a timeline. Tell me about the first time you met Luke Bryan.
First time I met Luke was probably somewhere around 2009, maybe. I was playing a show in Knoxville at the, I think it's called the Thompson Bowling Arena in Knoxville, Tennessee. And Luke was playing an after party at my, that night at a club after my show. And so we both kind of ran into each other at the radio station in Knoxville and sat there in the lobby and talked for a few minutes. And that was kind of our initial meeting.
Had y'all met or had you heard of him before? Yes.
We had heard of each other because we were both playing clubs down here in Georgia.
Okay.
And, played some of the same clubs. And so we kind of, and you know, even in Nashville, I mean, he'd been writing some songs. He had written, I think, Good Directions for Currington and stuff. So I kind of knew who he was. I knew the name, but I had never met him.
The oldest photo we could find of you two together was like 2010. I think it was like at the ACM Awards.
Yeah.
Were you guys ready for what was to come like after 2010 at that point? Or did you have no idea what was on the horizon?
I mean, I don't think we had any idea. I mean, I think, you know, we just kind of wanted to feel like we, you know, had a spot in town. You know, we just kind of had a spot in the business. We were trying to figure out, I think, you know, what our role in all that was. And, you know, we had a couple hits and, but I mean, you know, I don't think you really know. I mean, you don't know what you don't know. So, you know, to us, it was just like, hey, we got a hit. Yay. Let's get another one. And as long as we're having hits, we can go play.
Who was the better dresser at that time?
At that time?
Yeah, back then when y'all were first kicking around.
I don't know. I mean, I don't know if my fashion sense is all that great, so I'll give that one to Luke.
Okay.
I mean, he's not great either, but.
Do you remember a moment or an event where you guys officially were like, yeah, we're friends. Like, this isn't just competition. Yeah.
Well, I mean, I remember, you know, meeting him in Knoxville, and then later that year we had some mutual friends, and so we got invited to go on the same hunting trip with what would end up being Buck Commander, which now we're owners in. But and I remember while we were at deer camp, we just kind of hit it off and we were talking, and I think I said, man, I'm going to start headlining shows next year, like come open for me. And this was like 2010, and so he went out with me in 2010, opened some shows, and really that was kind of the year that we really kind of bonded and hit it off. And then he did something else in 2011, and then in 2012 he came back out and opened for us again. And then we did this. I called him to do one more show in 13, which was this one.
So when you guys team up to do it this time, is there like an argument on who's going to open for who? Is there a joke?
Yeah, it's kind of a joke, but, you know, that was the beauty of this show. It's like, you know, this is truly like a co-headlining thing. It's a different kind of show than either one of us has ever done. You know, we're used to going out and, you know, kind of carrying the show for an hour and a half, 2 hours a night. This is going to be a little different. So, you know, it was by design to where we can go out and kind of have fun with each other, have a little banner on stage. We'll be out there together some, and then we'll each get to do our thing. And, it's going to be different, you know, but I think it's something that we're looking forward to. And it's like I said, co-headlining thing for sure.
Jason Aldean, Luke Bryan go to dinner together. No families. Who's paying?
Him, if I can help it, you know. Him, if I could pull it off.
What's something about Luke that his fans don't know or appreciate fully about him that you've learned about him?
I just think the thing that I love about Luke the most, man, is like he's just, there's no filter, you know, on him at all, which I think fans may know that by now, but you know, he's just a guy that, you know, if it's on his mind, it kind of comes out of his mouth and there's no filter. And I always tell him, I'm like, it is impressive to me how you can say something, I can say the same thing, yet, you know, it's funny when you say it and it's, you know, front page news. If I say like, how is this? Like, it's very impressive how you can do that. But that's one of the things I love about him.
Luke Combs once told me that him and Morgan Wallen text back and forth, but nothing about music. It's all just about other things and friendship. What do your guys' text messages look like nowadays?
I mean, it could be anything. It could be music. It could be hunting. It could be, fishing related, golf. I mean, it's kind of just, I mean, what you would text any of your friends about, you know, just everyday stuff, kids, you know, his son, Bo's a quarterback and about to be a senior.
He's good.
And starting to get some D1 offers in college. So it's like been cool to see that kind of stuff. And so it's, and he's watched my kids grow up. I've watched his kids grow up. And so, you know, you're invested a little more than just like a, you know, just like a guy that sings in the same business mm-hmm. that you know, same thing that you do. So it's like you're invested in each other's families and his mom. I love his mom to death. She is awesome. One of the best. Oh, it's good time. I actually like her more than I like Luke, I think.
Did you guys ever fight over a song back in the day?
No. You know, I remember Drunk on You, which Luke had a big hit on, and I remember them pitching me that song at some point, and I don't remember which album it was for, but I remember them pitching the song and me just thinking at the time, like, man, it's really cool, but it's not what we're looking for. We were looking for tempos. We kind of had the rest of the album done, and I was kind of looking for one specific thing, and just that wasn't it. And then I heard his version of it later, and I was like, yep. Missed that one, you know, but, you know, honestly, I mean, songs land where they're supposed to. And I think he was supposed to end up with that one, obviously had a huge hit on it and we may not have. So it was, that's just one that I remember we didn't cut that it ended up being a hit.
Okay. Tell me what attracted you to Songs About Us.
I think partly just because, you know, the song kind of name checks other artists, you know, and Hank Williams and Keith Whitley and Willie and all the things. And it's like, man, those guys were, their music was kind of soundtracks to our lives growing up, you know? And I just kind of, when I heard that song, it made me think, man, over the last 20 years, our songs have probably been soundtrack to a lot of people's lives mm-hmm. out there that have listened, you know, and Luke's as well. And so that was kind of why I wanted to call him and just be like, man, this would be really cool for you to get on. And this is why. And so, but it was kind of for that. I just felt like, man, you know, between the two of us, you know, our songs have been, love them or hate them, they've been the soundtrack to your life probably a lot over the last 20 years.
And with your guys' two fan bases together, is that song going to be a single? Because that's, even if you don't release it, it's going to be like huge. Yeah.
I mean, I don't know. I think we'll see how that all plays out, you know. And I think now that the album's out and people get a chance to hear it, you kind of get to see, you know, how that looks, you
right.
know what I mean? So like if it goes on to become this big thing and people are kind of asking for that, then maybe we'll see how it goes.
Were you worried about the fans' reaction to Easier Gone and like Trolls or, you know, and the weight of that song and hearing people's stories? How has that affected you?
Easier Gone. I mean, I think, you know, I do this a lot, you know, we drop albums or drop songs and, you know, and I read comments or whatever about, you know, some people love it, some people hate it. So, you know, and I'm just saying my music in general, not that song in particular, but, and so, yeah, with me recording a song with my wife, it's like, you know, this is not what she does. This is something that I thought would be cool for us to do. And, she never even been in the studio before. So to take her in, you know, I thought the song turned out great and something that was really cool. And, but yeah, excuse me, as a husband of hers, you know, I'm like, want to be a little protective of
right.
that. And like, you know, I'm used to hearing people talk crap or whatever, you know, say whatever they like it. Some people are never going to like us, so they talk shit or whatever. Yeah. But, you know, with her, it's like, you know, you kind of want to protect that a little bit, but that's, you know, on the flip side of it, it's like, she's pretty strong chick too. So, and she did a great job. I thought she crushed it on the song. So it was, it turned out awesome.
And then help you remember, like, that's deep. What's been the fan reaction to that? And what are some stories you heard on that?
Well, you know, I think you hear a lot of stories about, you know, kind of, it's funny because I've read some reviews on the song and people go, oh, well, this is a song about, you know, a lost love or whatever, or like a breakup song or whatever. And I'm like, well, that's not really, I mean, I guess you could get that out of it, but that's not really what it was written about. You know, it was written about my uncle who passed away in Lewy body dementia and my father-in-law who currently has Lewy body dementia. So, it's, you know, it was one of those things that we wrote. It was like a really personal thing. And so, you know, you hear other people's stories about whether it be Alzheimer's or Parkinson's or dementia or things that, you know, their family members are going through. And I started noticing anytime we would play it for somebody that was going through any of that stuff, man, it was like waterworks, tears, and, you know, it was really kind of hitting a nerve with people. And so, you know, it's been cool to see. I mean, I think, you know, we kind of wrote that as like a little bit of a therapeutic thing, I think, for me and for like my family and my wife's family. You know, so to get that out's cool. And if it, you know, people out there going through the same thing can relate to it, that's a cool thing for us.
And a couple more real quick, back to the song with your wife. Did it help that Kane and his wife had done that duet first? I know you guys are friends.
Yeah. I mean, I don't know. I mean, it didn't really affect my decision to do that. I mean, I know Kate was, you know, she had a record deal, I think, at one point and was like a pop singer. So, I mean, she's a great singer. And, you know, her and Kane had kind of been talking about doing that forever. But it didn't really affect me that, you know, was it, oh, they did it, we could do that too. It was never that kind of thing. Because to me, honestly, when husbands and wives do songs, it could go one or two ways. It could be really cool or kind of cheesy, honestly. So it's always been kind of about finding the right song and something that's like on brand that makes sense and not trying to force something just because it's whatever. That's why it hasn't happened before now. So, you know, but I don't know. It was kind of the first, like I said, first time she'd gone on the studio and kind of just wanted to see how it was going to go, and it went great. So who knows, maybe more of that stuff to come.
And on the tour, is she going to be stopping and surprising people and doing some performing?
I would say, you know, it's probably a very good possibility that you'll see her out at some point this summer on tour somewhere. I mean, she's not out on every show, you know, if kids are in school or like doing whatever, but this summer while they're out of school, we're touring. It's probably a good possibility you might see it a little bit, so we'll see what happens.
Who sings when she's not there?
We don't do the song.
Oh, you just skip it?
Yeah, okay. We'll just do a different song. So, yeah.
Is it the same way with the Ludacris song?
Well, Ludacris, he came in, he just kind of did an extra verse on Dirt Road Anthem. So we do Dirt Road and just don't do that
verse.
You
just skip the verse. That's interesting. So. Cool, man. Well, I love the record, man. I think it's great, man. Thank you. It's a lot of radio hits, too.
Well, I'm just glad after, you know, working on this thing for a year, year and a half, I'm glad it's finally out and, you know, everybody can kind of hear what we've been working on.
Hell yeah. So. 10 more, baby.
Let's go.
All right. Thank you, man.
Thanks, dude.
Appreciate it. All right, let's bring in Billy Dukes to talk about this interview here with Jason Aldine Williams, a.k.a. Jason Aldine.
You know, we've been talking, I mean, Jason Aldine and Luke Bryan have been around so long, I couldn't remember in my head who came first and, like, who would have been opening up whose tour back in the day.
Yeah, I'm glad we got to the bottom of that because I think that was lingering around the time where social media just started and a lot of memories are fuzzy back then, so it might not have been documented, but it seemed like they both had the same answer. At least Jason Aldean did. We're going to play the Luke Bryan episode interview next week, but it seems like Jason Aldean and them had the same thing, and I think that Jason has a one-up on Luke because of that. And Luke, I don't think is going to ever open for Jason Aldean. I think they co-headline it.
So here's kind of how I think of it. Like, initially, Jason Aldean was the bigger artist. He started earlier. Luke was opening up for him. At a certain point, though, Luke certainly eclipsed Jason. in terms of winning the Entertainers of the Year, having the more hits. But I think the pendulum may have swung back a little bit in Jason's camp. And I say that just because I feel like his shows are a little bit more popping. The music's been a little bit more consistent lately. It's not to diss Luke by any stretch. It just seems like Jason has really kept his foot on the throttle a little bit, whereas Luke maybe is focusing on things like television and family and some other ventures.
Okay. Okay.
I don't know.
That's an opinion.
But they're obviously very close friends still. So like, it's not a competitive relationship.
Or is it? I don't know. Because look, I've been in the same fantasy football and baseball league with the same guys for like 12, 13 years now, and we're all friends. But you know how guys are. We get competitive about a lot. So I know they joke about it. They put out a promo video for the tour where they both said, I got 31 number ones. And the other one was like, I got 31 number ones. I think Blake Shelton, Luke Bryan, and Jason Aldean are both lingering around 30, 31 number one hits. I don't think either of them, this is a hot take, are ever going to retire until the other one does, because of the petty reason, I don't think it's petty, but friendship wise, of who's going to have more number ones.
I could see Blake Shelton stepping back full throttle. Like, he's got that land out there. Like, he just wants a quiet life in Oklahoma. I could see him just kind of stepping away from the stage.
He did. And then Post Malone called him and then inspired him to make new music.
True. True. So I want to go back a second.
Yeah.
You're still playing fantasy baseball?
Yeah, I'm in a big fantasy baseball league, man. Same guys. We do both sports, man.
I'm exhausted thinking about it.
No, see, everybody says the same thing. You're going to get me riled up. Anybody that doesn't play it says the same thing. To me, my next door neighbor says the same thing. He's like, there's a misconception that you have to do something every day. It's just like football. You just set your lineup once a week, and then you're locked in.
Yeah, but football's 17, 18 weeks. Baseball is end of March through into October.
Yeah, I mean, that's true. But, I do all my transactions on Monday morning, and I set my lineup on Monday morning and set it and forget it, and that's it.
So we didn't get a chance to explain this up front, but share with people like how this interview, the format of these interviews, where you were at and the kind of like what was expected and like what was going on around you.
Yeah. So this was crazy. So Jason Aldean's record label, Broken Bow Records, offered to fly me out to Sanford Stadium in Athens, Georgia, and interview both Jason Aldean and Luke Bryan. The setup was they took us to Sanford Stadium the day before the concert, and we each got our own press booth, and we were in the press booth that overlooked the stadium, and they were setting up the stage, and it was just it was an empty stadium, but they were setting it up for the concert on Saturday night, the following night, and it was awesome. And then, so basically, I had like 15 minutes with Jason Aldean, and then Luke Bryan's interview got cut short because he was running late or something happened, and they have a specific amount of time that they could be there. And what they did was, they ushered in Jason Aldean, and all those people came in because there was a huge press box, so as many people came in as they wanted. And then about 3 to 5 minutes after Aldean left, they brought in Luke Bryan, and I interviewed Luke Bryan, and that was it. And then we went to a secret pop-up Jason Aldean show at a bar before the day before the concert or whatnot. But it is a lot going on all at once. There's a lot of hurry up and wait, where you got to hurry up, get to the stadium, get there, and then you got to get your audio recorded, you got to get your video done. We have a video up on Taste of Country's YouTube. I feel like I'm talking forever, but you know what I'm saying.
we got, so our focus, our idea was to get Jason and Luke talking about sort of the origins of their friendship and kind of bring it up to today, because Jason's got this new album, Songs About Us, and he has a duet on it with Luke Bryant called Songs About Us. And it's a notable song. I could very easily hear that being a radio single. That would make a lot of sense. So it was a good chance to kind of get that full circle. And they were into it. I thought both of them really enjoyed a little bit of a trip down memory lane. And I do wish we just had more time. Like, I could have gone 30 minutes each with questions with those guys.
Yeah.
And I would have soaked it up a little bit.
Yeah, definitely. And, you know, like, when there's a lot of people, a lot of it was like, because most of the interviews, there was a couple other interviews that were, you know, people in other press boxes. And a lot of the other interviews, from what I understood, you know, were just, you know, basic. They were asking Jason Q&As about his album, and there's nothing wrong with that, you know, album, tour, and things like that. And then, you know, when they get to us, you know, I explained to them, I didn't say this in my initial long spiel where I talked forever a minute ago, but I explained to them, hey, we're going to do the beginning of this interview is going to be, hey, we're going to ask you about your friendship with Luke Bryan, and then we'll talk about your album. And he was like, okay, great. But, you know, as someone that interviews people a lot in our own studio, it's different when you're playing an away game, A, and B, it's different when these are like heavy hitters. You know, these guys are worth like hundreds of millions of dollars. These guys are heavy hitters. Yeah. They have a lot of people.
You don't want to miss.
Huh?
Right.
Yeah.
You don't want to like swing and miss on a question.
Dude, there's no room for error. Like, these guys are... You mean you're talking about, these are big celebrities, you know, so you know, when their people are watching everything, all eyes are on you, they're putting the heat on you, you know, all of that.
Yeah.
You know what I'm saying? So there was a lot
100%.
To consider, you know, it was a lot different than I would say, because Jason Aldean is one of our most interviewed people on this podcast. He's been in our studio like enough to pay rent, you know, almost. So it's like, but when it's a different interview, when you're, for me at least, I don't know, when you're out there and you have time constraints and you have all of his personal people there with him, as opposed to not all of his personal people.
So you mentioned this secret concert that you went to. Are you able to talk about it?
Dang.
Could you take photos and video? Like, what was going on with like the secret show?
It was sweet. So I guess they teased it the day before, saying that I'm not sure, they did it on his Instagram. They didn't say where it would be. They just said they're gonna pick 200 people that get to go to the show, and then So we got there, and then it was like at the Georgia Theater, which is kind of like a, you know, every state city's got one. It's like a live venue inside, small, probably two story, probably held maybe 400 people, I would say, because it was pretty full at 200. And the people in the audience didn't know that after the show, Jason was going to stay and sign autographs in the merch tent and take pictures and sell merch. So he surprised them with that. He played, it was awesome. He played some old songs, some new songs. He even did three different Q&A versions in between a couple of the sets. And don't think that the radio side of me was like, as they're asking these questions, I was like, I don't know who wrote these questions. Are these actual questions of people in the crowd? And then legit, he would say the question, and then someone in the corner back in the back would be like, "Woo!" And it would be like, "Oh, that was your question? Okay." I was like, that.
Oh, okay.
Yeah, I was like that. And like one of the questions was DJ, one of the, this, his DJ was reading, what is it, DJ Silver?
Yeah, DJ Silver or DJ Rock, both sometimes.
It was DJ Silver. Is that that's what it is, right?
Yeah, Silver. Yeah.
Okay, I get confused because the building that we work near is Silver Fish. So okay, got it.
Not related, but go on.
Right. So DJ Silver was there reading the questions, and he did, like, one of the questions was, what does it take to become a country artist superstar? And that was not the most, that was like the first one or whatever. And I was like, dude. And then there was this guy, he was like right in front of me, and he had his baby there and his wife, and he had a cowboy hat, and he was like, whoa, whoa, whoa. And Jason broke it down, told him exactly, you know, what he should expect, what to go through, and thanked the guy, told him good luck. And I was like, man, this is cool.
Sometimes I think what happens is there are a lot of questions, but they pull out, like, they're definitely curated, right? Like, they're not just randomly letting people ask, because the most people don't have that good of questions.
Right. Yeah.
For someone.
No, yeah.
They're kind of dumb. You know what I mean? Like, I don't mean to insult the common man, but, like, you're just not used to asking questions in a professional setting. You might ask something that's worded poorly or something.
Yeah.
So I'm sure they curate things like that.
Yeah. Curate, you know, and I was thinking, like, honestly, if I was on that level, like, I would not only curate them, like, I would almost just write some questions that I felt like answering or having some of my people, because it's risky. And like you said, you can ask for questions and, you know, you're going to get, a lot of them are going to be silly. Some of them are going to be stuff too personal. You know, a lot of them are going to be like, can I have a date with you, Jason?
Right.
You know,
boxers or briefs.
Can I borrow $1,000? So, I mean, but I was shocked as someone in the entertainment industry to see that those were real questions that they did curate, and the people were in the crowd. And I also heard a couple of people behind me were talking before the show started about, one guy was like, man, I better not get fired for this. And then another guy was like, you're supposed to be working? And he was like, yeah, they think I'm on the clock right now. If I get a call, I got to go. But it sounded like he did, like, concrete or some sort of work, and he got the, like I said, these people got the notification, like, the day of, the morning of where the show was. So you had to, if you were already at work and you got this notification, you had to, like, get out of work. You didn't know, you know what I'm saying? Like, you didn't really know what was going on, but it was quite the experience. Again, I'll say this about Jason Aldean, is that after all the success that he has, all the money, all the number one hits, all the fame, he still does the stuff that new country artists would do.
Yes, that's definitely true.
Yeah, he comes in, he does interviews live. He sat and played an acoustic show for 200 people the night before he played a show for 63,000 people. Like, that you don't do if you don't have to do. And that, he's just, I respect him so much for what he does musically. It's, you know, it's really cool to see.
All right, a couple things before we wrap up. One, the level of questions coming from the audience and that they work makes me think we're working way too hard when we come up with, like, we got Kit Moore coming in soon, and I spent a lot of time preparing, like, a deep Kit Moore interview.
Yeah.
And really, maybe I should have just asked him what it takes to make him in this business. The second thing is, like, this whole Luke and Jason thing kind of leads to a bigger point. They announced this little tour. Well, it's a pretty big tour, stadium tour, starting in August. And I was looking at the set list for the Georgia show, and it's kind of cool how they do it. Like, they come on stage together, then Jason sings a few songs, then Luke pops out and sings a few songs, then they're together a little bit more, and then they kind of repeat it. And I think they ended it with, a duo version of Luke Bryan's Country Girl, Shake It For Me.
Okay.
So that's pretty, I mean, it's a unique way to do a concert. Like, usually when they have these two big artists, they say it's a co-headlining thing, but one is always opening for the other. That's not necessarily the case with this show. I think they are on stage together quite a bit of the time.
Yeah, and it's a big, big production. Like, I know Athens, Georgia, the University of Georgia is where it is. It's a small town other than the college, and it, like, that town was buzzing for a day or two before. Like, this was it takes a lot of people. This was a big show, man. That, like, these two guys are heavyweights.
All right. So Luke next week, we got Luke's part of the conversation.
Billy's like, all right, shut up, dude.
I'm good. I mean, what else we got? You got more to sit, talk about?
No, man.
I'm here. I got plenty of time.
No, man.
I'll go get a little more coffee. And
I got to move my lawn, honestly. I got to get home. Yes. So next week is going to be Luke Bryan. Next week is going to be Luke Bryan and Amy Grant. Amy Grant has new music coming out, and she is in studio here in the Taste of Country Nights studio. It was a shock to me to get Amy Grant. Again, an artist of that caliber does not need to come into the studio. You know, they should be having people come to them. But, you know, so that'll be next week. Big episode next week. Luke Bryan and Amy Grant. Make sure to subscribe, like, comment, all that good stuff here at Taste of Country Nights on Demand.